Please turn to the book of Psalms. We want to read from Psalm 147, and we'd like to read the first five verses. Psalm 147, beginning at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. There are 150 Psalms, and if you want to learn about the nature of God and how he blesses his people, just study that section of the Old Testament very carefully, and you'll learn a lot about God and his dealings with his people. But many of the Psalms begin like this particular one begins, and that is with an exhortation for the Lord's people to offer praise unto him. Many of the Psalms begin in the same way. They might use different words, but the point is that many of the Psalms contain exhortations for the Lord's people to offer praise unto him. I want you to notice in verse 1 that giving praise to the Lord is described as being good and pleasant. I seem to recall that in another psalm, David mentioned the fact that brethren dwelling together in unity is both good and pleasant. So the Bible uses those terms to describe things that are very precious. Giving praise to the Lord is precious. It's described as being good as well as pleasant. But the writer continued by showing why the Lord deserves praise from his people. Not only does he call upon the Lord's people to offer praise unto the Lord, but he gives us a number of reasons why God deserves our praise. For example, notice how he blesses his people in verse 2. Now the reference is made to the children of Israel, but God blesses his people. In verse 4, God demonstrates his great wisdom and knowledge. He can tell you the number of the stars. Can you do that? Can you call all the stars by their names? Well, I certainly can't. I do enjoy on a clear night going out and looking up in the sky. I can usually locate the Big Dipper very soon. And I know what direction to look to try to find the Little Dipper. But that's as far as I can go. Those two are fairly easy to identify. God knows the names of all the stars. I can't even count the number of stars up in the sky. God knows how many there are, and he calls them by their names. And the writer went on to talk about God's great power and how his understanding is infinite. Those are all reasons why God deserves the praise of his people. But in our lesson, we want to concentrate on one particular matter that's dealt with in verse 3. And a reason is given in verse 3 why God deserves our praise. Notice that verse 3 mentions the fact that he, that is the Lord, heals the broken in heart. We want to concentrate on that for a little while today, and we want to just deal with that issue. The Lord heals the broken in heart. We talked not long ago about the fact that the Lord can help the troubled heart. This is very similar. A troubled heart and a broken heart, though, is slightly different. And not only does the Lord heal the troubled heart, he heals, or can heal, the broken heart. Let's begin by showing that, in one sense, a broken heart is a requirement for being in good standing with the Lord. Well, let's look at Psalm 51 and read verse 17. David made that point very clearly. Psalm 51 and verse 17. He said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." David mentioned the fact that God is pleased with a broken and a contrite heart. You see, David, when he composed this psalm, had committed adultery. He had also committed murder. And he was asking God to forgive him. Look at the opening two verses of this same psalm. David said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." So David is asking God to forgive him because of the sins that he had committed. But as David was pleading with the Lord to forgive him, he pointed out in verse 17 that a broken heart is a requirement for being in good standing with God. You see, that's the first step that will lead us to repent. Having a broken heart will lead a person to repent. So we need to understand from the scriptures that a broken heart is a requirement for being in good standing with the Lord. Now that leads one to repent, which leads to God's forgiveness. And then let's consider what David wrote in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. David showed that a person who has experienced a broken heart will then seek forgiveness from God. And when God forgives, that person is truly blessed. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Now, David composed this particular psalm in connection with those same sins that we mentioned just a moment ago. He went on to talk about the fact that for a while, he apparently felt no remorse for what he had done. And he described his spiritual situation. That led him to repent and seek forgiveness. And when God forgave him, he realized he was truly blessed. I think all we have to do is look at the life of David, and we can see that a broken heart is a requirement for being in good standing with the Lord. Let's consider something that Jesus dealt with in Luke chapter 18 in one of his parables. In this particular parable, he contrasted two men. One was a Pharisee, a religious man, and the other was a publican who was considered to be a sinful man. Now, both men went to the temple to pray. And Jesus talked about the way that the Pharisee prayed, but he prayed with himself. Basically, he was concerned about telling everyone about how good he was. But then look at the publican, verse 13. And the publican, that is a tax collector that was despised by many people, the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other." The publican in this parable illustrates the point that we're making. A broken heart is a requirement for being in good standing with God. It leads to repentance. And repentance, of course, is a requirement of the Lord to receive his forgiveness. Well, I think we can see from these scriptures, as well as many others, that a broken heart is a requirement for being in good standing with the Lord. Let's turn our attention to the fact that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. That's the point that we're really wanting to emphasize. The Lord heals the broken in heart. Now, being brokenhearted is the first step in receiving a blessing from the God, because it leads us to repent. So being broken in heart is a requirement for being in good standing with the Lord. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Let's look at an Old Testament prophecy found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah made many prophecies about the Lord. He wrote about 700 BC. And it's amazing the great details that God revealed to him concerning the coming of his son. Let's notice what's written in the first two verses of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now that's a prophecy that Isaiah made about 700 BC. Let's notice that Jesus said he fulfilled that particular prophecy. Let's turn back to the Gospel of Luke. This time we want to look at chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, we'll read several verses beginning at verse 16. Now this time Jesus had gone to John to be baptized at the Jordan River. After his baptism, he was led out into the wilderness, where he was tempted for a period of 40 days. After that period of temptation, he returned to Galilee. Verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, that's an important city in Galilee, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Jesus fulfilled that prophecy that Isaiah made about 700 years earlier. He quoted or read that particular prophecy. I've always been impressed with the fact that he found the place where it was written. More than likely, this would have been a scroll. And, of course, the book of Isaiah is a rather lengthy book. I can just imagine seeing the Lord stand up in the synagogue and unroll that scroll until he found that particular verse, and then he read it. I'm quite confident that Jesus could have quoted that verse. He quoted scriptures on many occasions, but in the synagogue, he took the time to find where it was written, and he read it. He said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." In other words, he showed that he fulfilled that particular prophecy. So Jesus came to accomplish a number of very important objectives. But one was to heal the brokenhearted. I want you to notice especially from what Isaiah wrote and what Jesus read, that the Father sent Jesus to heal the brokenhearted. So to summarize what we've covered so far, A broken heart is a requirement for being in good standing with the Lord. And we've also pointed out that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Now let's look at a number of scriptures which actually illustrate how the Lord healed the hearts, the broken hearts, of many people. I believe this is information that people need to know today. And we have a responsibility to try to share these things with others. I think a lot of people don't realize that there's help for a broken heart. I don't know the whole story because I did not hear the whole report. But we hear reports like this almost daily, and it breaks our hearts. I saw a picture on the television screen of a handsome young man. I don't remember his name. I don't know where he lived. He was a very handsome young man. I would say maybe about 20 years old. He took his own life. I don't know what happened. We hear about this all the time. And it just seems that that difficulty is getting more pronounced as time goes by. A lot of people have broken hearts and don't realize that there's help available. I received an email from some friends of mine in West Tennessee. I have not responded back yet. I received it some time ago. They Googled my name, and the church came up. Of course, my name was listed on the information. They sent an email to the church's website, and Gary gets it, and I get it. So it was from some very dear friends of mine that I've not seen in a long time. They had two sons. And in their short message, they informed me that their older son had taken his own life. He was always very respectful to me. I thought a lot of him. His little brother had Down syndrome, and I remember he competed in the Olympics for disabled children in Nashville, and we went to watch him race. Boy had long legs, and he could run, and he won his race. I can't begin to tell you how many families I have known that have been affected by that. More than likely, you've known a number of families too. This is a growing problem, and people need to realize that broken hearts can be healed. The Lord came to heal the brokenhearted. Now let's look at several examples of people with broken hearts having them healed by the Lord. I think we make a mistake when people want to go on and on about their personal experiences. We need to stick with the scriptures. We know that they're right. And when we follow them, we'll be going in the right direction. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. The Lord healed the broken hearts of thousands of people on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2. Now, Pentecost was an important feast day for the Jewish people. It was observed 50 days from the Passover Sabbath, always on the first day of the week. It was at the previous Passover that Jesus had been crucified. So less than 2 months have passed since Jesus was crucified. No doubt many of these same people who were present were there in that crowd that cried out for Jesus to be crucified. So not much time has passed since the Lord was put to death. And now the apostles are together in Jerusalem. They've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were able to speak languages that they didn't know, so they could communicate with other people. There were people in Jerusalem from all over the world speaking a variety of languages and dialects. The apostles were all from Galilee, but because they had been baptized in the Spirit, they were able to communicate with people in their native languages. Well, Peter preached a powerful sermon. I won't take the time to read it. I've read it many times, and I've always been impressed with Peter's style. He had a main point that he was going to drive home. That is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he presented a tremendous amount of proof to show that that's the case. He emphasized the Lord's resurrection. He went so far as to say that it wasn't possible for the grave to hold Jesus. How did Peter know that? He quoted from Psalm 16. It was prophesied about 1,000 years earlier that Jesus would come forth from the grave. He also said, "We're all witnesses," referring to his fellow apostles. In other words, they saw the Lord after he was raised from the dead. And he quoted several other scriptures to show that's the case. Well, the people in the audience realized what they had done less than 2 months earlier. And Peter pointed out to them, he said, "You've taken and by wicked hands have crucified the Son of God." He didn't beat around the bush. He told it like it is. Well, that led many of the people in the audience to develop broken hearts. Notice what verse 37 says. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart." Their hearts were broken because of what they had done. It led them to ask a question. They said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Look at verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." You see, when these people complied with the gospel requirements, the Lord took care of their troubled hearts. Now you tell me if there's a difference that took place in the hearts of these people. We know that they were pricked in their hearts. They asked what they needed to do. They were told what to do. They complied. Now I want you to notice these people had some heart relief, if you will. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat or their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Do you see the difference that took place in the lives of these people? On the one hand, they were pricked in their hearts. They complied with the Lord's will. He healed their broken hearts. That is a classic example of the Lord healing people with hearts that were broken. Remember, it was prophesied in Psalm 147, as well as Isaiah 61. That's what the Lord would do. He heals those who are broken in heart. Let's look at another example. The Lord healed the broken heart of Saul. Now, we're introduced to Saul in the book of Acts. He had a heart that is hard to describe. Because you see, he persecuted the church. Look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 3. Now this is after Stephen has been stoned to death. And the Bible teaches in verse 1 of Acts 8 that Saul was consenting unto his death. But verse 3 says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." Now that's a man who has a heart that's not broken. He is intent on persecuting Christians. He did his best to try to destroy the Lord's church. Look at chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Saul was intent on trying to destroy the Lord's church. But he had a conversation with the Lord on his way to Damascus. He asked the Lord what he needed to do. He was told to go into the city, and there he would be told what he needed to do. Now let's look at verse 9 of Acts chapter 9. And I think we can see that this man had a broken heart. He had not always had a broken heart, but he does now. "And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink." Now, does that verse tell us specifically anything about Saul's heart? No. But it does talk about his actions. For 3 days, he did not eat or drink. That's a sign that this man was upset. His heart was broken. Well, the Lord had told Saul to go to Damascus, and there he would be told what he needed to do. In the meantime, the Lord appeared to Ananias and directed him to go to Saul. Ananias was at first a little bit hesitant because he knew about Saul's reputation. But the Lord said, "He's a chosen vessel unto me." He said, "You go and talk to him." Ananias did go and talk to him. Let's look at verses 17 and 18 of Acts 9 and notice how Saul reacted. "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." Now we're also able to read about Saul's conversion in chapters 22 and 26. The other chapter supplies with some additional details. What's one thing that Ananias told Saul? Chapter 22 and verse 16, he said, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 9 and verse 18 says that's exactly what he did. Now, you tell me if there was a change that took place in this man's heart. Let's continue at verse 19. "And when he had received meat, he was strengthened." Now he's able to eat. He had not been able to eat or drink for 3 days. Now he's able to eat. "Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." What a change that took place in the heart of that man. Later on, he would be called Paul. He was an inspired apostle, He wrote about half of the New Testament. The Lord healed Saul's broken heart. Here we have the Lord healing the broken hearts of thousands of people on Pentecost. He healed the broken heart of Saul, who was an enemy of the church. Let's consider another example. Acts chapter 16. That man that we just identified as Saul later was known as Paul, as we mentioned, and we're able to read about much of his missionary work. He went to a city known as Philippi, and he had an opportunity to come in contact with the jailer in town. Paul and Silas had been cast into prison for doing a good deed. Let's begin reading at verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. This man's in a desperate way. I think it's safe to say he had a broken heart. His heart was so broken, he was ready to take his own life. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Isn't it interesting that the people on Pentecost asked what they needed to do? Saul asked the Lord what he needed to do. Now this man, the jailer in Philippi, wanted to know what he needed to do. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Now in order for this man to believe on the Lord, he had to learn about the Lord. In other words, he had to be taught. Verse 32 says, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed his stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway." Now once again, you tell me if this man had a change of heart. Look at verse 34. "And when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." The jailer in Philippi reached a point in his life when he had a troubled or a broken heart. The Lord took care of it. Now, these three examples we just looked at all involve people who were not Christians. Let's go back to Acts chapter 8 and look at an occasion when the Lord healed the broken heart of a man who had become a Christian. He committed sin. He was not in good standing with the Lord. It was pointed out to him what he had done, his condition, and what he needed to do. And as we read, I want you to notice how Peter, in talking with Simon, referred to the condition of his heart. Acts chapter 8 and verse 13 says, "Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done." Philip the evangelist had left Jerusalem. He went to Samaria, and a number of people became Christians in that city, including Simon. He was a sorcerer. Apparently, he was very good at his craft because he had bewitched many people. But when he saw what Philip was doing, he knew that Philip had been given a special power because he was able to perform genuine miracles. But Simon became a Christian. but he made a mistake. Go down to verse 18. And by this time, Peter and John had gone from Jerusalem to Samaria. They were apostles. They were able to lay hands on people who had become Christians and give them the power to perform spiritual gifts. They passed on a miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit. Now, only the apostles could do that. Philip had received the laying on the apostles' hands in Jerusalem, but he was not an apostle. He could preach, he could perform miracles himself, but he couldn't lay hands on people. Well, Peter and John went to Samaria. They did lay hands on the people. Simon observed that. Well, verse 18 says, "And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit.'" The man committed a sin, and Peter dealt with him. "But Peter said unto him, 'Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God.'" Now here's a man who has a heart that's not in good standing with the Lord. What did he need to do? "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Now, I believe Simon's response shows that he had a broken heart and he wanted to do something about it, and he did do something about it. He was told what to do by Peter. What was his response? "Then answered Simon and said, 'Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me.'" Simon made a mistake. It was pointed out to him. The condition of his heart was also revealed to him. He took the appropriate steps. This is another example of the Lord healing someone who was broken in heart. Well, we could look at other examples, but I think these are sufficient to make the point. Psalm 147 begins by saying that the Lord heals the broken in heart. That's actually in verse 3. That's one reason why the Lord deserves our praise. We pointed out that a broken heart is a requirement for being in good standing with the Lord, but then we also pointed out that the Lord is able to heal the broken heart. He came for that purpose. We've looked at a number of examples of people who had broken hearts, and the Lord healed them. Well, that plan is still in effect today. Well, the Lord offers his gracious invitation in Matthew chapter 11. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." How grateful we need to be that the Lord heals the broken in heart.